First talk, we spoke of the trappings of society in general, to talk about how society and all the things that are around us affect the very way that we see the world, the very way that we think, the very way that we conceive of what is, you know, normal, what is worth really fighting for, what is really worth standing up for, what is really worth, being, if you could, in a way, you know, a bit hard line on, and that clarity is diminished by the society that we live in. Now, I want to get even a little bit more specific in one aspect to life around us, and talk about something that's probably, you know, in one sense or another, affects all of us again, but more in our day-to-day actions, in our day-to-day way that we schedule our life and live our life, and that is the effects that it has on our morality in terms of both entertainment and seeking pleasures from the things of the world. These things are bad in themselves, and I think that's an important point when we talk about this aspect of naturalism and this aspect of worldly entertainments and things like that. There's nothing in and of themselves wrong about some of the aspects of it. Yes, take it to a little further, it can very much be wrong in itself, and the very principles of naturalism itself are wrong. But the way that we see it come to ourselves, like I said, most of the time when it's there in our face and something is truly just wrong and evil, we recognize, like, I can't do that, that's immoral, you know. And you know, we've learned enough of our catechism to say that, you know, even though I want that thing from that store, I can't just steal it. You know, that's just wrong. I can't do that. And regardless of the way that my mind is now being slowly kind of taught to think that just do what you want to do, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, you know, we still recognize, no, that's wrong. And if we choose to actually go against it, we know right away that we've really done something wrong, and we've made that conscious choice to do so. But the reason why I choose entertainment and worldly pleasures in that aspect is that I think for two purposes. One is that it's something that we can all relate to, because every one of us needs time to recreate. Recreation is a good. Recreation is necessary. You know, we need time for ourselves to be able to recharge the battery, if you will, to be able to relax, to be able to have a little bit of fun, and it allows us to be truly what the word says, recreated, able to go and to be able to live a virtuous life after the fact, because we've taken that little bit of time for ourselves. Even the most strict of monasteries has time set aside in their schedule for recreation. If you go to the seminary in Florida, you will have time for the seminarians to recreate. They'll be out, you know, Bishop Swanborn has spent lots of money to make sure that they have areas where they can recreate. There's a soccer field down there, there's a basketball court down there. It's things, you know, it's games that they can play. Or, you know, even there's a walking path that they just want to go for a walk and talk amongst themselves. Whatever they want to do, those, you know, within reason, they can do. They go bike rides and things like that. Not all the time, but they have time for it. And you know, there's an interesting movie that came out long ago, probably 2003-ish, 2004 maybe, called Into the Grand Silence. And in that movie, these Cistercian monks, it shows them. I mean, they're Novus Ordo Cistercian monks, but they still live very strictly according to a lot of the rule. And you know, throughout the day, there's silence during the day. And they're waking up at midnight and 3 a.m. and things like that to pray the office. And they're, you know, kneeling on hard boards. And they're regularly fighting that battle to try to be truly spiritual in their lives, despite the fact that they're like I said, they're part of a false church. And yet you see in that, as strict as they are, as silent as they are, you know, just eating, you know, vegetables and fruits and no meat, you know, not talking, you know, those extreme hours of prayer and everything like that, following that old Cistercian rule, they still have a time in that movie where you see them where they're at recreation and they're out, you know, talking, and they've taken trays from the refectory where they eat, and they're sledding down the hill on trays, you know, these monks doing that. But because recreation's good, it's necessary. Entertainment is good, it's necessary. But where it turns into something that is naturalistic and is worldly is that, to the extent that we seek after them and to the extent that it controls our lives in the way we view recreation. A supernatural person that's, you know, and I say a supernatural person, not saying that each and every one of us is not a supernatural person. I'm saying that the ideal of supernatural person always keeps recreation in its proper box, in its proper amount, in its proper focus, in its proper areas of what we can and can't do, all these things. The natural person seeks to recreation as often as they can, in whatever ways that they can, by whatever means that they can feel good about what they're doing and how they're acting and the things that they're doing. And so it's very important. It's very important that we recognize that the natural aspect draws us to more, always seeking more. And we can find that in that lack of discipline towards our recreation. It leads to a vice. Well, it leads to several vices, but it leads to first vice of laziness. People that do not think supernaturally about their recreation are lazy. Now, I do not mean that if we are not supernatural about our recreation, that we are lazy in the sense that we are just immobile, that we're unwilling to work at the things that we have to do. Like, we show up to work and we just don't get our stuff done, and, you know, we can't be bothered to clean our house or something like that. That's not what I mean. I mean laziness in a true definition of it, which is doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing, not doing the things that you are supposed to be doing. We become lazy in that sense of the term, that we no longer are focused on doing that which we should be. So if I have time for house chores, I should be spending my time doing those chores then. And then if I have time where I'm at my occupation, then I should be focused on working at my occupation. And if I have time where I have for prayer, then I need to set aside that time for prayer and the time for spiritual reading and that time that I need to spend with my family, if you're a parent, to make sure that you not only take care of the needs of the family and you educate them all, but also the fact that even the recognition that your kids are going to, as children, require a little bit more time for playing and stuff like that. And sometimes that means you working to help them to play. And it's not really, you know, you playing, you're assisting them that way. But everything has its proper box. And yes, your own recreation has its proper box, its proper time. And when you're doing that, then you're at complete liberty to recreate. But I've done the things I have to, and now I have this time here where I'm going to take for a little bit of time for myself to do something and to seek after some entertainment to recreate myself. It has to fit into a proper time frame. When we go into recreation open-ended, we end up wasting time. It's often talked about, like, you know, I think, you know, what is it, YouTube, the website YouTube, that, you know, like, that it turns into a black hole of time, that you click on one video to watch it, and next thing you know, hours have gone by, and you didn't even realize it. You're just there, and you became part of the sofa or something like that, and you didn't even recognize it happening. The same could be said of television as well, or, you know, movies are a little bit more finite because they have an ending point to them, but, you know, anytime we enter into some sort of recreation and we don't think to ourselves, like, okay, I should try to end at a point and try to block off the time, means that I'm more than likely going to spend more time than I should in doing so because I have not disciplined myself to put that proper block for it. It also, being undisciplined in our approach and inordinate in our approach to recreation, again, this is the natural aspect, this is what we're drawn to do, causes us to at times possibly miss or not do well our spiritual duties. You know, how many of us have been there before where, you know, we've fallen into that YouTube black hole and we realize all of a sudden we're tired and we've been at that for more than we should and we think, oh, I still have a rosary, I still haven't done any spiritual reading, I haven't done that, I'm just going to go to bed, you know, I'll try again tomorrow. And you punt on your prayers, or you say, okay, I'm just going to do it, and you do it, you go through it very quickly, or you compromise on the spiritual aspect, where you're not giving the first fruits to God in your spiritual life. Why? Because you've placed your recreation at a higher priority than those of the spiritual life. You've placed it higher than your prayers. You've placed it in a spot that is higher than your duty to take care of your soul, to honor and love God. You've been inordinate with what we talked about as the most important part of Catholic faith, which is that of charity, to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul above all else. Well, we've replaced God with something else. You know, we've replaced him with, you know, whatever that thing is. And we can't have that. That to us causes us to be to be now worshiping something false, if you will, not in a strict sense. We're not going and, you know, putting an incense and, you know, swinging a thurible at our computer or our television or something like that. But we are, in a sense, we've reprioritized for our lives what is more important. And it's no longer God. It's now this thing. Saint Jerome, actually, is an example of that. It's an interesting story. So, Saint Jerome, I mean, obviously he made it, so that's a good start to things. And for every one of us, we made it, you know. And so that's very important to remember. But Saint Jerome had a true devotion to reading the classics. That is, like the old Greek classic writers, and, you know, most especially Cicero. He had a real soft spot for Cicero, and he loved to read all the stories and poems and everything like that, and he'd spend lots of time doing this, even though at the same time, you know, he's living this religious life, he's trying to love and serve God, he's trying to move away from the old man, the secular man that he once was before, but he still has a soft spot for the classics, and he doesn't always make sure that he limits that time to how much of that he's reading. And so one night, our Lord appears to Saint Jerome and says to him, "You are a Ciceronian and no Christian." Why? Because Saint Jerome had put more time and effort in reading the classics because that was fun, that was recreating to him, than he had in giving honor and glory to God. And then, you know, in true Saint Jerome fashion, he then like said in front of his friends and stuff like that, you know, I'm never going to read the classics ever again. This is, you know, I'm done with them and everything like that. And this is what our Lord wants from me. And so, then later on, he starts reading the classics a bit more after a while, but in a much more modified way. And his friend makes the mistake of reminding him, like, hey, remember that time our Lord appeared to you and told you that, you know, you got to be really careful about this? When you're reading the classics more, you should, you know, be careful about it. Then St. Jerome being, you know, St. Jerome is really kind of like angry, you know, grumpy and stuff like that. He tells them off, and they're no longer friends anymore. But eventually, going back and forth, he works his way towards a proper balance. He reads Cicero, he reads the classics, but he keeps it in its proper place. He keeps it in a spot that is purely just recreational and entertainment, and he gets back to the things that at hand that are most important, his prayers, his sacrifices. There's a famous picture of St. Jerome holding a rock, striking his breast, and one of the art gallery people saying to a group of people going through, if it wasn't for that rock, St. Jerome never would have made it, you know, because of his fiery temper. So eventually he gets back to that aspect of living a truly penitential life. He lived in a cave for years and years and years, you know, right next to the cave of Bethlehem, where our Lord was born. And some have even said that there was a little window in the rock that he was able to see in, and he would make little acts of adoration towards the spot where our Lord was born throughout the day on his knees there, kneeling on the rock. And he lived in that cave, and he translated the scriptures, and he hated Hebrew, but he still did it anyways. And all of this stuff, you know, St. Jerome mortified himself to do that, but it took some trial and error. It took him, you know, he realized he was recreating too much, then he goes the opposite direction, doesn't recreate at all. That makes him even more grumpy for St. Jerome, which is really a bad case to be in. Then he comes back around, and eventually, because he keeps working, he finds that spot, and he's a great saint, despite of all those trials that he went through. And for us, it can be the same thing. Finding its proper spot for us, it is something that we always have to look towards. But our first primary spot to realize, where is my source of, you know, where is my, is recreation falling in my life and entertainment falling in my life, is to think, am I taking care of my spiritual duties? Am I getting all my prayer stuff? Am I making sure I'm doing spiritual reading? Am I making sure that I'm giving those first fruits of my day to God? If the answer is no, then now I have to start to look at, how do I find that proper? Another aspect is what society tells us is proper proportion for recreation. As Christians, we know, all right, so we talked about the fact that, you know, we have to have it in its rightful spot in regards to how much we recreate and how much we give in terms of time towards God and all of these things. We also know that as Christians, there's a proper order towards how much one recreates in due proportion to their age. You know, as children, that's like kind of like your primary duty is to play. I mean, that's, you know, as little kids, you have a huge chunk of your day set aside for playtime. And that's important for children to have that. That's where they learn to experience the world. That's where they learn to, you know, in a safe, confined kind of, you know, play and learn about stuff. And as they get older, that playtime becomes less and less. They start getting little bits of chores. They start doing schoolwork. They start getting more responsibilities. They start having to help take care of other kids in the family. They start having more and more in terms of homework and more in terms of responsibilities. Maybe then they get to their teenage years, then they get a little part-time job and things like that. The playtime dissipates. And when you get to be an adult, and you have all the regular responsibilities of life, now you only should have only these little blotches of recreation, little blocks of time that you set aside for yourself to recreate. But your day cannot be recreational. Society tells us the opposite. What happens You know, a child in elementary school comes home from school after being at school for the entire day and has an hour's worth of homework to do. And so they come home, their family sits down, hopefully, at dinner, and they eat together. And then what happens? The father and the mother, they go off, and they immediately start watching television. And that kid, who's 12, 13 years old, has to go off and do his homework. Because now the parents end up having more recreation, according to the norms of society, than the children. What happens as they get older? Now, if they're involved in sports in school, they have to spend more and more time devoted to practicing whatever craft that they have. You know, I mean, like I said, my whole life long growing up, I played baseball. I, at 18, 19 years old, spent more time working out, more time practicing than I ever did playing baseball as a 10-year-old. But it's backwards. Why am I spending more time as an adult than I was as a 10-year-old? Because society is telling me that it's more important now. Because it actually, quote unquote, means something. No, it doesn't. It's a game. It's a recreation. It doesn't mean anything. But that's the concept that the world has for us. We have to spend more time doing that. We have to spend, you know, every adult, now that they have disposable income, you know, we can only have like 1.8 children because of the fact that we have to be able to buy a boat, we have to be able to have a vacation home, and we have to be able to have nice cars, and we have to have all of the nice electronics and whatever else may be there. Because why? The adults need their recreation and whatever else just, you know, goes aside. It doesn't matter any longer because of the fact that there is no proportion of responsibility towards time of entertainment any longer. That's gone. That's out the window. Also, the world has an effect on our own morality in terms of entertainment. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean now in terms of us getting recreation, but I mean it in terms of what type of recreation do we enjoy. Now, if I, you know, talk to each of you individually, I guarantee you every single one of you will like be able to tell me that no, you shouldn't watch like really bad stuff. You know, you shouldn't go and see these like horrible movies with like all of this impurity and all of this, gross, like gratuitous levels of violence and or gratuitous level of just of really blasphemous language and things like that. Like you could tell me that those certain aspects are not proper for Christians, and same thing with television, you know, and same thing with video games or whatever. But the problem is that for us, because entertainment around us has gotten to be so bad, because there is so much out there that is just truly disgusting and improper, the line of where we draw it and say, I'm willing to watch this, but I'm not willing to watch that, shifts. And we allow it to shift without even recognizing. Now, there might be some here who, you know, born as good traditional Catholics, their parents like really make sure that they don't fall into that, and you know, but you're in the minority if that's the case. The reality of it is too often times we have the thoughts go through our own minds that, you know, like me, growing up in the world, growing up not a practicing Catholic my whole life up until 19 years old or 18, 19 years old, and then changing. I have this concept, this thought in my mind that I constantly have to fight against, which is the very fact that, you know, I compare one type of film, one type of television show, one type of whatever to other things that are around. And therein lies the relativistic approach to morality. I've allowed my sense of morality to be dictated by how bad other stuff is. And so now I look at something that might have things that are improper and impure in regards to material, and the thought process is, well, it's not as bad as some of these other movies, you know? That is not the greatest, but it's just a scene, or it's just one little bit, and it's, you know, I shouldn't let it ruin the whole entire movie. I'll just try to see where that's coming, and then try to, do one of these things or whatever. I've allowed my sense of morality to shift because I look at what comes out today in terms of movies and say, well, you know, there's so much garbage coming out that this isn't as bad as those things. Whereas if I compare it to movies that made it through, you know, the Legion of Decency and books that came through the Legion of Decency and stuff like that back before when they monitored how immoral something was, I would say, no, this is, if I compare it to that, then I'd say this is just rubbish, because that's what it is. And I have to figure out a way to bring myself back to that realization that I cannot shift my gauge of morality based on the way society views morality. Because if I do that, then soon enough, any kind of concept of morality is out the window completely. I no longer have firm principles to stand on as to what's decent and what's not decent. I no longer have the ability to really make a good decision on whether or not to be entertained by something or to reject it at its outset. I have to maintain proper moral principles. I also have to recognize that undisciplined recreation can become a vessel of allowing immorality to come. Because with everything at our fingertips now, all it takes is one little bit of idle curiosity, one little bit of just playing with fire a tiny bit, one first instance of giving into some sort of temptation, and next thing I know, because it's instantaneous, I'm going down the proverbial rabbit hole in terms of entertainment. No, I have to, if I want to be maintain my own morality and my own protection of my own soul in recreating, then I have to figure out and set aside things that I know these are safe. These are something that I'm 100% sure is moral, and I'm not going to go outside of that. So, you know, if I have, you know, if I pull up, I have a little bit of time and I pull up an episode of Leave It to Beaver because I'm like American Wholesome Fun, you know, I pull that up. I know that that's safe recreation there. But I see over on the side something that kind of looks interesting, but I don't really know about, and it could go either way. I have to resist that temptation to even check what that is, you know, because that is the start of the rabbit hole. That is the start of the slippery slope. That is what is going to lead to me finding something that is not where I want to be, and now having an even harder battle fighting temptation in that instance. So, what do we recognize with this song? First off, we recognize that entertainment, the world around us, craves entertainment. You all here in Milwaukee know that all too well. All it takes is a Sunday during the fall to go anywhere in the city and to see everybody dressed in green and gold, to realize that their church is not our church. Their focus is not our focus. It's not to say that watching football is bad, but it's to say that that is their focus for the day. That's their Sunday best. That's their idea of religion. And we can't fall in line with that. We can't fall in line with any of that mode of thinking in our lives, that I live to recreate, if you will. I look for, you know, this unending level of pleasure for my life by terms of recreation. No, it is a means to an end. It is a means towards me saving my soul, just like my prayers are, just like my daily duties are, just like the sacrifices I offer during Lent are, just like my taking care to do spiritual reading and educating myself in the catechism. All those things are spiritual duties and life duties that I have. Recreation is part of that. It leads to the saving of my soul if I do it correctly, because it allows me to do the rest of those things well. It allows me to have a much more energy towards them, a much clearer mind towards them, because I've taken time for proper recreation and put it in its proper place. And so I have to realize that the world doesn't, that is their end. Pleasure is their end, not eternal paradise. And so I have to, by recognizing that, I have to be my own guard. I have to be my own protector against these type of things, but just this inordinate search for life's little pleasures, life's little entertainments, the next shiny object to distract me from what I really need to be focusing on. And I have to realize that because I live in a society that is so much geared towards that next instant, that next moment of pleasure. Everybody's got to have a smartphone because, you know, I can't even go without having that screen before me even as I walk down the street. You know, I tell people all the time that if I could get rid of my smartphone today, I would. The only reason I have it is because it's so important given the amount that I travel and that I work with. But if I could give it up today, I would. Because why? It's just a distraction. Otherwise, that's all it is. It serves no purpose in getting me closer to heaven, and just is this constant pulsing temptation that sits there in your pocket. So think about that for yourselves. I mean, you know, is that, I mean, so many of us have legitimate purposes for it, but is what we have it for really what we need it for? You know, So, you know, same thing with, you know, television. You know, do we have that there so that as a family we can at times do a little recreation and watch something wholesome and do something good with it? Or is it there because it's just this thing that's just constantly on, constantly talking to us and constantly drawing our attention and keeping us away from our daily duties? Same thing with my computer. Am I using it for work? Am I using it for research and then leaving it alone? Or is it this thing that's just constantly going, that I constantly find myself on, constantly see myself using for distracting and unnecessary purposes? I've been geared, we all have been geared towards seeking after worldly pleasures constantly. And as that recognition comes to our mind, is the realization that we have to fight to keep recreation in its proper place. And it's a daily battle. It's a daily battle that's not unique to any of us. It's a daily battle that everybody shares. But it's so important for all of our lives. So how do we go about doing so? How do we moderate and watch ourselves well? First and foremost, I think, is the idea of a schedule. Not to say that you have to write out your entire day and fit everything into all the blocks that they have to be in, but you have to go in to your time of recreation, especially if it's something, I mean, if you're going to a family party or something like that, that's totally different, or you're going out with friends or whatever. That, I mean, you know, even that still within reason, but you know, that's not necessarily going to be something that you can fit, like, okay, I'm going to set aside an hour and a half for family and no more, you know, like, you know, sorry, grandma, I'm going home. You know, that you can't do that, obviously, but you can do that to your own regular days of recreation. Like I said, you know, if you're going to set aside time to watch a movie, watch that movie and be done, or watch an episode, television program that you know to be safe. So scheduling it well, diversifying what you do, not spending too much time, you know, glued to the, you know, the talking screen, because that, it just numbs the mind. So that, that aspect of really scheduling and being rigorous with yourself towards the schedule, being generous towards others with it, but being rigorous towards yourself. So if somebody comes over, you know, then you, then your time is theirs, and you try to make yourself as facilitating within reason as possible. But when you are recreating for your own sake, then you become as rigorous as possible. Next is the concept of fighting against the very thing that draws us to, like, constant recreation, and that is the inordinate desire of pleasure in our lives. We lose sight of eternal paradise being our goal. The pleasure that we seek after is undying in eternity. And so I have to keep that concept in my mind, and the only way I can do that is by being willing to do penance and sacrifice in this life. Lent especially, this is the most perfect time for that, for us to embody that. You know, the perfect time to really give up certain entertainments that we really enjoy during this, this time frame, because it's Lent, it's, it is a season of sacrifice. We want to be successful at other times in our life, we have to be successful at least now, during the Lenten season. So really don't let this opportunity pass you by. Every year it comes around, every year we have Lent. And so every year, try to redouble your efforts, try to do a little bit more, a little bit different, you know, try to do something that's going to benefit you in terms of spiritual growth, especially during this time, but also outside of this time. It's okay to deprive yourself of entertainment sometimes. It's okay to cut yourself away and put it aside, to put everything in it again in its proper box. It takes a little bit of penance, a little bit of sacrifice for us, a willingness to not go after the low-hanging fruit of earthly pleasure right here and now. Thirdly, I would say, is to ensure that by our day-to-day work, we give always those first fruits to God. If you have come home from work, or, you know, we've finished up dinner, or whatever it may be, and now you're thinking to yourself, boy, I'd just like to sit down and watch something, and you know that you have prayers that you still would do, then don't watch whatever it is you're going to watch. Wait until you've done what you have to do for God first. Give Him the last vestiges of your awake mind, of your alertness, of your ability to pray and do these things well. Give those fruits to Him first, and then what's left over, that can go towards recreation. Not the other way around. Don't go watching something and find yourself at 11:30 at night going, now I have to choose between sleep or doing my prayers. Because we are human beings, and if we find ourselves faced with that, as much as we sit here now and think to ourselves, well, just sacrifice and suck it up and do my prayers, as much as we think of ourselves now saying that, we're not going to always win that out. And sometimes we're just going to say, forget it, I'm going to bed. And then sometimes, if we do choose to do it, it's going to be this, you know, hazy, half asleep, half awake prayers that we're just rushing through for the sake of saying them, not for the sake of that we want to pray to give honor and glory to God. And lastly, is the aspect in terms of being our own moral compass towards what we see and what we do. When it comes to protecting my own morality, or those people under my care, and it comes to something that is truly unnecessary for life, I do not need to watch a certain movie. I do not need to watch a certain television show to survive. I do not need to read a certain novel or, you know, listen to a certain program, if those things are improper. And so when I find myself faced with, well, I could watch it and I don't think that I'll fall into temptation, but I'm not 100% sure, and I'm not really sure which way I should go, because you don't need it, why would you err on the side of watching something or reading something or giving in to something that could pose that temptation? I don't mean that in a scrupulous way. Don't say that, oh, well, you know, I'm, you know, watching this movie and, you know, it's because it has people in it, you know, I might be tempted towards, you know, sins of impurity. No, that's just ridiculous. People are everywhere. You can't avoid people. But, you know, the idea of like, well, this thing, you know, has people dressed immodestly in it, and it could pose a temptation to me, then I have to be the one to say to myself, I'm not going to watch it because I don't need it. I can find something else to do. I can go do something. I can whatever. I need to be my own moral guide. I need to be the one to say no for myself. I put those things in their proper place and say, I don't need them, so therefore I'm not even going to mess with it. And in that sense of being strict, not again, not scrupulous, but strict in regards to morality, then I will be much more able to have wholesome entertainment, wholesome recreation, recreation that, if I put it in its proper place, will do exactly what it's supposed to do. Rejuvenate my soul, give me a way to relax, give me a way to recreate myself in order that tomorrow I can get up and fight the good fight all over again. That's the purpose of our entertainment. That's the purpose of our recreation, is to be able to do our religious duties and our other duties well, because I've taken time to give my own self a little bit of time of break. And when we keep it all in perspective and we ignore the way the world wants us to go with that and do it according to what we as Catholics should gauge our entertainment by and how much we should have and you know, when and where we should do recreation and things like that, and gauge it in those high terms and those concepts, then I'm always going to be even acting virtuous, even in those times of recreation. And then I can think like Saint Gerard Magella, when he was asked about what would he do if he were to learn that he was going to die in 10 minutes, and he was at recreation at the time, he said, well, I keep recreating because that's what's on the schedule. Because he knew it was God's will, he knew it was going to be virtuous in that. And if we keep recreation in its rightful place, it's exactly the same. We'll have no fear of doing our recreation and taking time to entertain ourselves, because we know it's proper, we know it's from God, and we know that we're doing good for our souls by it. Ultimately, it leads to that ultimate goal of the last end, which is salvation. And that being our goal, that being our fixture, that being the highest point in everything that we do in our lives, as long as we keep heaven at that highest pinnacle, and choosing to do the things that are going to get us closer to that in our lives before we choose anything else, when we break it down to its simplest form, that's how we successfully fight against naturalism. That is our end game. That's our end prize. That's what I'm working for in everything that I do. That's my focus. That's what I base my life around. No matter what the world throws at me, no matter what society tells me is right or wrong, I will search after that, and I will achieve that. I will become supernatural.